Now this metta-bhavana, this development of universal friendliness, does not as a practice stand alone. It's one of a set of four practices known as the four limitless states, because you try to develop the appropriate emotion without any limit whatsoever. The other three practices are the development of compassion, of sympathetic joy, and of equanimity. These are not separate from the metta. The metta is the basis of them all. When we come into contact with suffering, when our friendliness comes into contact with suffering, compassion arises. When our friendliness comes into contact with other people's happiness, then sympathetic joy develops. And when metta, friendliness, compassion, and sympathetic joy are developed equally towards all, then equanimity arises. And equanimity, of course, is not indifference. There's no equanimity without friendliness. We could also add reverence or devotion. And this is experienced when the metta, the friendliness, is directed, as it were, upwards towards the ideal, the spiritual ideal. And these five, we may say, that is to say, friendliness, compassion, sympathetic joy, equanimity, or peace, if you like, and devotion, these five are the principal positive emotions, and their development is regarded as very important by Buddhism. They occupy, in fact, a central place in the spiritual life, and when fully developed, they constitute what is technically known as liberation of heart, or the liberation of the heart. And we may say that nowadays, three quarters of the way through this 20th century, the development of positive emotion is more important than ever before. Without positive emotion, there is no spiritual life. Many people, unfortunately, in the West, they don't realize this. They think that religion is a dull and a gloomy affair. And perhaps religion is. But Buddhism, but the Dharma, certainly isn't. And personal development certainly isn't. I'd even go so far as to say, especially on my basis of 9 years' experience with the Friends, and with so many people who've come along to the Friends, the FWBO, in the course of the 9 years, that without strong positive emotions, no spiritual progress is possible. I'd even put it as strongly as that, that without well-developed positive emotions, no spiritual progress is possible. So this means that many people's first duty to themselves and to others is simply to be happy, to develop friendliness, compassion, sympathetic joy, equanimity, and reverence and devotion. Formerly, I must say, when I arrived back in this country after 20 years in the East, I found that there was not much spiritual emotion in Buddhist circles in this country. I remember my first Wesak meeting, Wesak being the great Buddhist festival of the whole year. I remember my first Wesak meeting in London after my return from India. As I looked around the hall, I couldn't help noticing, I couldn't help seeing and feeling that everybody looked dull and sad. And in the course of my remarks, in the course of my short talk, I remarked upon the fact. I said that we've gathered together here today to celebrate Wesak, to celebrate the Buddha's enlightenment. But you don't seem very glad. It's as though you're almost as sorry that the Buddha gained enlightenment rather than rejoicing over the commemoration. So some of them laughed a little feebly. And that was almost my first experience after coming back to this country. And I never forgot it. But certainly we may say that things are very much better now, or at least considerably better. Now, I've said that meditation is the method of personal development, I've described the metta bhavana. I've insisted on the importance of positive spiritual emotion, and I've referred to the full development of positive spiritual emotion as liberation of heart. But this is not enough, not even this. We can go further. In fact, we must go further if we want to complete the process of personal development. Because there are two kinds of meditation, and I want to say just a few words about this, and then we must conclude. There's what we call the development of calm. This is the first great division of meditation, the development of calm. It represents the calming down of all unskillful mental states, the development of skillful states to the highest possible degree. And it covers meditation as I've described it so far. And it represents, of course, a very high attainment indeed. But it has definite limitations. It can be gained, yes, but also it can be lost and regained and again lost. For permanent attainment, we have to have recourse to the second, as it were, higher kind of meditation, which is not development of calm, but what we call development of insight. Here, insight means direct vision, direct experience of the true nature of existence. Here, one sees the world as it is. One sees also what is beyond the world. One sees that also as it is. One sees that the world, the conditioned, the phenomenal, is unsatisfactory, impermanent, unreal, unbeautiful. And one sees that what is beyond the world, the unconditioned, is blissful, permanent, real, beautiful. And so seeing, one turns finally away from the world, away from the conditioned, one turns permanently in the direction of the unconditioned. One turns, in a word, right round. This is the famous turning about in the deepest seat of consciousness. One turns right round. And in this way, insight goes beyond calm, though at the same time, insight is not independent of calm. Insight is developed on the basis of calm, which means that it has behind it the purified and the refined energy of one's whole being. Because it has behind it that purified and refined energy of the whole being, it can penetrate into the depths of existence. Insight, therefore, is not just a matter of intellectual understanding, though the content of insight can be expressed in intellectual terms, at least up to a point. Insight is a matter of direct spiritual vision, of direct experience of ultimate reality. And when insight is fully developed, one achieves what is called liberation by wisdom. And liberation of heart and liberation by wisdom together constitute what is known as perfect enlightenment. So calm and insight are both necessary. The purified heart must be united with the illumined mind. Love and compassion must be united with wisdom. And when one succeeds in doing that, one's personal development will be complete. So that, having reached this point, we've made, in imagination at least, full use of the first of the four things that the FWBO has to offer. That is to say, a method of personal development. And having made full use of that method, we shall begin to see the world, see human existence in a very different way from the way in which we saw it before. we shall begin to see the world, begin to see human existence as a Buddha, as an enlightened being sees it. And how a Buddha sees it, we shall try to understand in our next lecture.